Ladies and gentlemen, it's a big, weird, wild world out there, folks, and here we stand. Al pie del cañón, ready for anything, I'm Rob, and you're listening to...
The Bravo Show!
That's right, boys and girls, you're listening to the one and only Probo Show live with this one exclusive, podcast exclusive episode for you angelic beings. Podcast exclusive episode of the Probo Show coming to you after dark on Monday evening. How's it going? A big hello to those of us joining live today in the audience. We've got Vero, Gemma, Ladybo, Corporate Alligator. How are you doing, guys? Oh, no, boy. Do we have a show for you? Let's run through it right now. In 100 humans, I ask them to name things people visit while on vacation. Nombra cosas que la gente visita mientras está de vacaciones. Okay, is it just me or is my Spanish on fire recently? I think it's on fire. In today's Complete the News, we'll find out how people in Mexico City commemorated World Sleep Day. Conmemorar, I think is how you say commemorate. Let's see. Today's unpopular opinion is traveling the world isn't necessary for a fulfilled life. Viajar por el mundo no es necesario para una vida plena. And much, much more. How are you doing out there, friends? Let's see what people are saying. It's after dark, but it's sunny, says Gemma. I know. Yeah, we're moving into that part of the year in Spain where it's always beautiful. I go to sleep at like 9 p.m. every night. So there does get, because I wake up very early in the morning. So there's going to get to a point where I go to sleep and it's still sunny outside. Rob, you're not old, just a reserva, like a wine. Oh, I like that, Gemma. Yes. Vero says, wines, the older they are, the better they get. Oh, thank you. Cameron's with us, Rob. You could try and play Rob and Natch at the same time. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Cameron? Okay, I'll tell you what, guys. I'm here, you're here. Let's see what's going on in the world. Fascinating news story, again, from the world of AI here. As AI tool, this is from The Guardian. As AI tools get smarter, a medida que las herramientas de inteligencia artificial se vuelven más inteligentes, as AI tools get smarter, they're growing more covertly racist. Se descubre que son cada vez más sutilmente racistas. That's according to experts, según los expertos. This is coming from The Guardian. I'm laughing, but it is kind of an issue, you know? A recent report highlights an alarming trend as artificial intelligence tools like OpenAI's ChatGPT and Google Gemini become more advanced, they are exhibiting more covert forms of racism, particularly against African-American vernacular English speakers. Researchers from the Allen Institute for Artificial Intelligence and others have found that these AI models, widely used in various sectors, including job screening, harbor racist stereotypes, often rating... again, African-American vernacular English. The shortened version of that is AAVE speakers as less intelligent or less employable compared to those using standard American English. African-American vernacular is a pattern of English speak spoken by the African-American community in the United States. This bias extends to severe scenarios, such as AI models being more likely to recommend the death penalty for hypothetical defendants using African-American vernacular English. Jeezy Louise. The study underscores the growing issue of sleeping racism in AI, where biases become less overt but more insidious, raising concerns about the use of AI in critical areas like employment and legal decisions. The findings call for urgent attention from developers and policymakers to address these biases and regulate AI use to prevent discrimination. Yeah, okay, ooh, let's unpack that. This is a big one. let's see. It's becoming crazy with AI these days, using it as a tool. My God, no surprises. AI is the most conservative thing I can think of in its biases. Or in its basis, says Carmen. Please invite the Natch one day to an After Dark show, says Gemma. I would, but there's no way Natch would want to come after work. I mean, it's weird that I do it after work, I'll be honest. Well, what can I do? I'm an addict and I love you guys. I have to be here. I haven't tried the AI yet. I'm more analog, says Gemma. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say, just in response to what Carmen says there, a lot of people say if it does this, if it has any kind of bias, it tends to be a left-wing bias. You know, it's too woke, is the phrase that people like to use. AI is too woke. It will criticize Donald Trump, but it won't criticize Joe Biden, that kind of thing. So it's interesting, this insidious kind of silent racism, as they say. And you can see how that kind of happens. And it makes it all the more kind of worrying because more and more employment agencies are using AI as a filtering tool in CVs. So, you know what I mean? If you're a member of the African-American community, you're listening to this post, try and safeguard yourself. I'm not saying change the way you speak, but be sensitive to the fact that a lot of places use AI tools to filter CVs and just try, you know, until they iron this thing out, right? Is it weird or you just love us? You say, I just love you guys. You know what I mean?
That gets the Provo stamp of approval.
All right, let's move on to the next piece of news. Again, talking about that, about the worrying trend of lower birth rates all around the world. Interesting piece of news. I believe this one from thefinancialtimes.com. Marriage holds the key to Japan's falling births. So el matrimonio es clave para la caída de nacimientos en Japón. The article by Leo Lewis highlights Japan's ongoing demographic crisis, evidenced by a significant drop in marriages and births, with marriages decreasing by almost a sixth between 2019 and 2021, and not recovering from post-pandemic. There was the theory, right, that, you know, what was happening during the pandemic just represented a slight blip everywhere, all throughout the world. And when this is over, things will return to normal. And most of us now living in the world have noticed, well, actually, you know, things haven't gotten back to normal. You don't see as many people going out and not as many people vacationing, not as many people going back to the cinemas, not as many people apparently having babies or getting married. Let's see. Why are people still getting married? Says Gemma. I have no idea. People, you know, they don't want, people are sick of having an easy life, Gemma. Like, get me married. I need some stress. I need to stress my relationship out. Really put it through a good stress test. Let's get married. Let's see. Just a picture of the Natch. Size one would be enough. Like a scale model of the Natch for the background. Just hovering over me. Like an oracle. I could make that happen. I agree, says Gemma. A photo of the Natch is enough. Natch cardboard cutout in the back is what we all need. Okay, I'll try and make it happen, guys. As you know, I live to serve. Better tax bracket, says Corporate Alligator. Yeah, isn't that the most romantic thing you've ever heard? Why did we get married? Well, you see, we met each other, and then a couple of years later, it just felt like the natural step to go ahead and save money on our tax returns. It's funny how few Sandra Bullock movies there are that highlight the benefits of tax breaks. You know what I mean? Isn't that the next Pixar movie is going to be about that?
You know, they get married and then they save 21% on their taxes.
So there you go. Yeah, interesting. So in 2023, Japan saw the number of marriages drop below 500,000 for the first time since 1930. Or since the 1930s, sorry, alongside a record low of 758,000 births. A decline arriving a decade earlier than projected. I mean, wow. So we all know this population crisis has been going on, but apparently, at least in Japan, it's outpacing what they thought it would be in the region of a decade. We are now where we thought we would be in 10 years' time, if you know, with reference to Japan and the demographic crisis. This situation is compounded by the fact that the vast majority of children in Japan are born within wedlock, maintaining a cultural trend where stable, long-lasting marriages are the norm, but now increasingly rare. The government under Prime Minister Kishida has introduced economic incentives to encourage family growth, such as increased child allowances and childcare benefits. However, the article suggests that while these measures may help, they may not be sufficient to counter the deeper societal trend of fewer and later marriages. Yeah, the article kind of implies that addressing Japan's population decline will require like more innovative, more creative kind of problem solving than traditional methods. Interesting. Disney Pixar movie, The Tax Haven. from Copper Alligator. Killing it out there. Okay, final piece of news. Again, I believe this one's from The Guardian. It is. Yeah, neurological conditions are now the leading cause of ill health worldwide. This is according to a study. Las condiciones neurológicas ahora son la principal causa de mala salud en todo el mundo. Neurological conditions, including migraines, strokes, Parkinson's disease, and dementia, have become the leading cause of ill health globally, with 11.1 million deaths recorded in 2021. According to a study published in The Lancet, which I believe is a journal, these conditions affected 43% of the global population, or 3.4 billion people in 2021, marking a significant increase over the past three decades. Oh, I can just hear the anti-vaxxers now in the background. That's because of the vaccines. Go away. This rise in neurological disorders is attributed to population growth, higher life expectancy, and increased exposure to risk factors such as pollution, obesity, and poor diet. Guys, get yourself a frozen pizza, man. Eat healthy like me, like Uncle Rob. Stroke was identified as a condition with the highest disease burden followed. Stroke is an ictus. Followed by other significant contributors like meningitis, epilepsy, and Alzheimer's disease. The study also highlighted the rapid increase in nerve damage caused by diabetes and noted significant global health inequities, with the majority of neurological deaths and health losses occurring in low and middle income countries. Preventative measures, particularly controlling high systolic blood pressure, are emphasized to reduce the risk of developing some neurological conditions. I need to get back to the gym. In fact, instead of doing the show tomorrow morning, because Richard Vaughan is in the studio, I'm going to go to the gym, my friends. I'm going to get healthy. Dude, I have got a belly on me right now. It's not just because of the barbecue. I know what you're thinking. On that note, friends, let's go to today's unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion.
Okay, today's unpopular opinion, today's brain fat, today's pedo-cerebral, pedo-mental, today's rayada. I shared it with people on my social media, and it is... it is not necessary. How did I word this? Traveling the world, viajar por el mundo, isn't necessary for a fulfilled life. Viajar por el mundo no es necesario para una vida plena. It's often said, right? You know, you want to open your, you want to broaden your horizons. You want to kind of, you want to experience culture. You've got to travel. Yeah, I guess there's some vague truth in there. But when most of us travel, don't we just go to a hotel in some kind of resort, stay in there for 7-14 days drinking mimosas and then get a plane back home? How much culture are you actually experiencing? You go to New York, you're like in there, who do you actually speak to? A taxi driver, a hotel clerk, perhaps some museum guard? Oh, are you really experiencing culture when you go on vacation? I've often asserted that if you really want to have a real idea of a culture, you can't be there for a couple of weeks. You've got to experience it for a couple of months, years. You want to know what it's like to live in another country, then live in that country. I mean, just kind of surface level observing it from as the status of tourist. Is only going to take you so far. But that's what I think. I mean, what we are interested in is what everybody else thinks. So I posted the poll on Instagram saying that traveling the world isn't necessary for a fulfilled life. And our Instagram friends said 77% true. But that seems to fly against popular wisdom, doesn't it? And aren't we constantly hearing messages of the positive benefits of traveling the world? I mean, for sure there are some, but I don't know the exact answer to this, friends. I'm hoping you do. That's why over the break, I'm going to post a poll, and you're going to tell me. Traveling the world, is it necessary for a fulfilled life? Well, of course, I thoroughly tortured the elves this afternoon, and they gave me some pros and cons. Let's get into those. Right now, in the pro column saying yes, traveling the world is not necessary for a fulfilled life. Fulfillment is subjective and varies from person to person. Some find satisfaction in local community involvement, family life, career achievements, or hobbies. Fulfillment can come from relationships, personal development, and contributions to one's community, not necessarily from travel. Yeah, let's stop painting everyone with these broad brushstrokes. I derive quite a lot of personal fulfillment from creating art, from creating podcasts, from creating media, from my work, from my friends, being engaged in the community, my small community, albeit populated by friends and friends of friends. Do I really need to go to India? Don't get me wrong, I would love to. But do I really need that for a fulfilled life? Next point. One can engage in diverse cultures without traveling extensively. Many urban areas offer a rich tapestry of cultures through local communities, festivals, restaurants, and museums. Engaging with different cultures can also occur through books, films, and the internet. It's not like we are all islands right now, and we have to read Reader's Digest to be able to engage and speak to people from other cultures. I mean, look at this show. Commonly populated by people from Russia, South Africa, America, from all over the world. We get together and we talk about problems and topics and issues. Is that not fulfilling? Is that not really more of an insight into culture? If anything, I think it maybe teaches us that deep down at our core, we're all a lot more similar than we'd like to think. Let's continue. Environmental considerations. Air travel significantly contributes to carbon emissions and global warming. For environmentally conscious individuals, seeking fulfillment in more sustainable activities can be more aligned with their values than global travel. And the final point here, cost and accessibility. Travel can be expensive and not accessible to everyone due to financial, health, or personal responsibilities. Fulfillment should not be contingent on the ability to travel, as this would exclude many people from leading fulfilled lives. Now, listen to this. It used to be that traveling was a very kind of elite endeavor, right? And then prices went down. And everyone could get away for the summer. Everyone could have their summer vacation and feel like they were engaged in the global village. But look at the world today. Look at how it is, the cost of living crisis that we're all going through. Are we really telling people that they're not engaged? They're not thoroughly kind of engaged in in making the most out of their lives just because they can't travel. I mean, I think that's quite short-sighted, isn't it? Listen, before we get into the cons, let's see what people are saying here in the chat. True, there are people who can't afford traveling around the world and they are really happy with their lives. However, going abroad gives other perspectives of the world around us and helps us understand it better. Corporate Alligator says, VR and travel the world. So, yes. Gemma says, as Vero said, going abroad makes you know other cultures and everyone should travel frequently. But unfortunately, not everyone can afford it. There you go. I mean, that's massive. That is a massive indicator of the kind of message we're putting out there when we say, you know, if you haven't experienced the wonders of Senegal, you really haven't lived. I mean, come on. Is that the way you want to sound? Carmen says, true, but this assertion reminds me of how we expected to travel and tourism, or how we experience travel and tourism, which, in my view, is becoming more and more superficial and even destructive for the usual travel destinations. True. Look at what my people have done at the coast of Spain. My God. Never been out of South Africa, and I think I'm fine, says Conman. How are you doing, Con? Welcome. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting debate. There is definitely a lot to be taken from crossing a border and seeing how other people live. I just question the window into other people's cultures as viewed from a tourist. I mean, I certainly had my ideas of what Spain was like, you know, taken from the lens of being a tourist. But then, as someone who actually lives here and experiences the culture now as, you know, maybe not as a native Spaniard, but as someone who's been here for many, many years, I have a much deeper understanding than if I'd have made 20 trips out here. I would recommend that anyone lives in another country for at least a few years. I think it gives you a different perspective on travel, gives you a different perspective on the idea of immigration, of what it is to be an immigrant in another country. It's very easy to point the finger. But unless you've walked a mile in a person's shoes, I don't think you should be able to do that. And I think those are all valuable experiences, but experiences you don't get as a tourist. Let's get into the con column right now. Okay, so saying, yeah, the benefits of traveling the world for a fulfilled life. Broadened perspectives. Travel exposes individuals to new cultures, languages, and experiences, broadening their perspective and fostering empathy and understanding. These experiences can enrich one's life, leading to a more well-rounded sense of fulfillment. Travel often pushes individuals out of their comfort zones, leading to significant personal growth. Dealing with unexpected situations, navigating foreign environments, and overcoming language barriers. True story. Next point. Experiencing different cultures firsthand promotes deeper appreciation for diversity and the human experience. This can lead to more fulfilling life by understanding the vastness and variety of the world. And final point, here it goes. Travel can create lifelong memories and forge new relationships that enrich one's life. The joy and fulfillment derived from these experiences and connections can significantly contribute to an individual's overall sense of satisfaction. It's true, there are certain things you experience as a person traveling that you just wouldn't experience in your own country, okay? Those linguistic faux pas, learning a few phrases just to get by. I mean, there are valuable experiences, but can we really suggest that you're not living a fulfilled life if you're not traveling the world? It's an interesting idea. But I'm not the one to answer it, friends. I'm hoping you guys are. So I'm going to post a poll in the chat. The poll will say, it is not, or traveling the world is not necessary for a fulfilled life, true or false, and you will tell us. All right, my friends, I'm going to go for a break. I'll see you in a few minutes. Friends, there's so many things you could have been doing this afternoon, an infinite number of things. But instead of doing those things, you took the time to spend some time with me, and it means the world. See you in a few minutes. Hey, guys, if you'd like to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. That's patreon.com/professionalbohemian. There you'll find VODs of the episodes as they are recorded live, blogs, vlogs, and behind-the-scenes content. If you'd like to watch the show live, you can do so on twitch.tv/professionalbohemian, and you can participate in the polls we use in the show on Instagram @professionalbohemian or Twitter @probo, P-R-O-B-O-H. Okay, on with the show.
The Probo Show!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Probo Show. How are you doing on this special podcast exclusive episode of the Probo Show After Dark? In today's news section, we looked at how AI tools, the more clever, the more smarter these tools are getting, the more covertly racist they're becoming. Can that be true? According to The Guardian, it is. And then we looked at an interesting demographic study here, saying that marriage holds the key to Japan's falling birth rate, and also how neurological conditions are now the leading cause of ill health worldwide. Worrying stuff. It's true that, you know, as populations get older, neurological illnesses become more prevalent with old age. Could that be it? All right. And then we moved on to today's unpopular opinion, which is traveling the world isn't necessary for a fulfilled life. Viajar por el mundo no es necesario para una vida plena. Got a few messages on Instagram with regards to this. Noemi said, true, but traveling opens your mind and makes you more aware of everything beyond your city and country. 100% recommendable. Nessa says, I think it's a way of broadening the mind and understanding the richness that differences bring, but I don't think it's essential for a fulfilled life. Mia says, traveling is enriching, but not the only path to fulfillment. Lorenzo says, I get it. Traveling isn't for everyone, but experiencing history and culture firsthand, that's irreplaceable. Yeah, true story. And finally, Tara says, you don't have to jet around the planet to have a full life. Embracing local adventures and protecting your environment is rewarding. I just question the kind of experiences we're actually having when we travel. Do you know what I mean? Are we, you know, when you travel, are you really engaging with that culture? And how much is it really possible to engage with the culture in the space of a few weeks or even a month? You know what I mean? Who are you really engaging with when you go on holiday? Is it a taxi driver, a barman? I mean, can you really say you've experienced the whole gambit of a culture by just doing that over a two-week period? I would suggest that not. Don't get me wrong. I like to get a bit of sun as well. But is that really kind of the path to a fulfilled life? Adam's with us here. Adam, the question, the unpopular opinion is, traveling is not necessary, or traveling the world is not necessary for a fulfilled life. Nuriatam, you don't have enough time to live their life, says Nuriatam. True story. True story. And if anything is valuable, I would suggest more valuable than just spending 2 weeks in a foreign country is go and spend a year there. I thought British people think they think they know Spain. I thought I knew Spain until I moved here, you know, and I really experienced the little nuances. Ask anyone about Spain, right? They're going to tell you about, you know, sunny beaches, flamenco, castanets and straw donkeys. Is that Spain? Tell me about the queimada, mariscos, pulpo a la gallega. Tell me about, you know, Las Fallas. I mean, you see a very myopic view through the lens of a tourist, I would suggest. And certainly not the only way to live a fulfilled life. A fulfilled life can come through growing a family. It can come through engagement with arts. It can come through local engagement with your own community. Are we really going to suggest that traveling the world, this one activity where you have a very myopic view of whatever culture it is you're experiencing, is the path to a fulfilled life? Interesting. Let's see. Nuriatam said, yes, you don't have enough time to live their life Adam says, of course it is. Gandalf's here. I've not travelled and I don't have a fulfilled life. So what? So do with that what you will. How are you doing, Gandalf? Gandalf, by the way, one of my greatest patrons. If you want to join me on Patreon, you can do that. Have access to all the news and all the fun stuff that we post on there. All right. So, yeah, let's get into the results of the poll, shall we? Because interesting results today. So I made the statement, the blanket statement, that traveling the world is not necessary for a fulfilled life. And you guys said 83% true. Okay, now I've been quite glib about traveling, let's be honest. It is a great way to broaden your horizons. I do think the older you get, the more reticent you are, you know, to go backpacking around a foreign country. Now, don't get me wrong. I've spent a ton of time in other cultures experiencing them when I was younger. Now I'm an older guy. I kind of see fulfillment a lot more attainable from my own sofa. Is that bad? Maybe that's bad. But it's true, I did experience quite a lot of cultural richness being in other countries. But did I really experience those cultures? Sure. I mean, I had little snapshots, postcard views of what it might be to be North American, West Coast and East Coast, the differences between the two. But that doesn't tell me what it's like to be American, no more than it would spending a week in London tell you what it's like to be a kid in Yorkshire and my life growing up. Of course it doesn't. I think the only way you really engage with another culture is by living there. And I certainly would say that saying that you haven't lived a fulfilled life unless you've traveled the world is a very, very ignorant thing to think. Don't you think? That's not poo-pooing those of you who said false on this one. But I think there's so many ways to live a fulfilled life that don't have anything to do with possibly leaving the boundaries of your own neighborhood. Fulfilled life is very subjective, right? Means something different depending who you speak to. Isn't that why it's so hard to find a partner so you can actually coincide on these issues? What it means to be a fulfilled life, what your goals are? And how often is that?
Well, you know, I spent a year in Singapore.
But you know what Grandpa Bo would say about that? He'd say, Rob, that's just your opinion. And opinions are like buttholes. Everyone has one and they all stink, including yours. All right, let's see what people are saying. Spend a year in Cambridge with Harry Potter vibes. Go to an island and travel with a boat. Maybe have no view of the shore and make it more worth living, says Adam. Doing good. Saw you were online. How are you? Hope you are. Yeah, I'm not doing too bad. Very tired today, Gandalf. Super tired. Emily's here. How are you doing, Emily? Rob, you're not old. You're a wine. Yeah, that's right. I'm aging like a wine. I think I've moved into my vinegar stage. Go to Turkey. Have a wonderful 2 months there. Go to Palestine and Spain. Have an experience that is more than a bar or a cafe near your house. But Adam, here we go. I understand what you're saying. Those are all great experiences. But does that mean because you've been to Turkey, Palestine, and Spain that you've had a fulfilled life? You know what I mean? Fulfillment is a very subjective term. I feel more fulfilled personally when I finish a work of art than I ever have coming back from a holiday. With the exception of doing the Camino de Santiago, which is a real personal challenge. But anyway, on that note, let's move on to today's 100 humans. Jeez Louise. Your boy's having trouble speaking, friends. Oh my God, it was a long walk to work today across snow-capped mountains and through river valleys. And on that walk, I encountered 100 humans and I asked them all a question. Today's question was, name things people visit while on vacation. Nombra cosas que la gente visita mientras está de vacaciones. I asked them that question. They gave me their answers. I have the top 7 answers right here. Your job in the chat is to identify those top 7 answers. A bunch of people interacted with this on Instagram. And thank you guys for being so quick off the mark. There is only 6 hours in between shows when I do an After Dark edition, and you guys, you're doing God's work, man. a big thank you to Raz, Gemma Ricino, La Chica de la Segunda Fila, Pedro, Juan Carlos Vera, Nuriatam, Materia Oscura, Ana Casan, Vero, Carmen, B. Lopez. Oh, guys are on fire. Some great messages here. Let's turn our attention to the audience and see what they say. Emma Lee, first off the mark here, says, the beach. Things that people visit while on vacation. Beaches. Playas. Is it there? Of course it's there. Well done, Emma Lee. With 37 of 100 humans, it's the number one answer. Oh my God. B. Lopez, Carmen, Ana Casan. A lot of people said beaches. I'm just laughing because Materia Oscura said the local McDonald's at least once. Tastes like home. All right, so yeah. Beaches. Literally my least favorite thing about going on vacation. It feels like punishment to me going to a beach. Okay, you're bald. Sit outside in the sun for 3 hours. Come on. Come on. I'm going to get sunstroke the second I sit down. All right, so beaches is their number one answer. Well done. Gemma says museums. Museums. Yeah, that could be like art museums or even kind of like historical museums. Nuriatam also in the chat and Vero in the chat all said museums. All right, Gemma, are you right? Yes, you are. Well done, well done. Museums there, second most popular answer. 25 of 100 humans said museums. Well done, well done. Okay, God, are we so consumerist, guys? We go on vacation to visit shops. Emily thinks so. So does Carmen. And a bunch of people on Instagram said shops. Hang on, wait. I'm trying to find one now. I do remember seeing shops in the list. Shops? Is shops there to go shopping? Yes, it is. Jeez, guys. You haven't filled one yet. Yeah, shopping. Just in case, you know, you don't want to shop in the country, your country of origin. I'm going to go shop in the Seychelles. Come on. Really? Is that why we're going on vacation now? So shops, it's there. It's the seventh most popular answer with 3 of 100 humans saying shops. This is a good one. Gemma says friends and family. Would you go see friends and family while on vacation? It's a great answer, but sadly, it's not there. That's why I literally go on holiday to exclusively do that, which is weird that the 100 humans don't agree. It's a great answer, Gemma, but friends and families are not there. To visit internet friends, says Emily. Great answer, but sadly, not there. Gandalf says the bathroom. Gandalf. Oh, wrong. 100 humans, shush. Bathroom. There we go. Wah, wah, wah. Foreign toilet, says Gemma. Okay. All right. Nuriatam here says parks. Parques. Is parks there? Yes, it is. I would have never guessed parks. Although when I went to New York, I did go to Central Park. Can I be honest? A bit disappointing. It's like Retiro. Retiro Park is the big park here in the center of Madrid. It's very similar, only Retiro is like way better. No shade, sorry, New York. You know what I mean? So parks, it is there. It's the fourth most popular answer. 6 of 100 humans said parks. Okay, let's continue. Castles. Castles, says Gandalf. You know what? I think I'm going to give it to you. Yeah, why not? Why not? Castles specifically is not there, but landmarks, monumentos, monuments, landmarks. You know, you go to the Leaning Tower of Pisa. You go see Lady Liberty, or you go see the Arc de Triomphe. Whatever it is, it's a landmark, and it's there. Landmarks, 7 of 100 humans. It is in third place. Well done, well done. All right, let's see. Sasha says restaurants. Restaurants. Is restaurants there? going on a gastronomy tour of the south of France. Is it there? Yes, it is. Well done. Fifth most popular answer, with 6 of 100 humans saying restaurants. Vero says important places. Again, we would say landmarks for that one. There's one more that you're missing. Okay, so you go to the beach if you wanted to surf, or if you wanted to swim or sunbathe. Where would you go and see in another country if you wanted to ski? There's your clue. If you wanted to ski, you wouldn't go to the beach. Where would you go? Let's see. Emily says, okay, so I know someone that went to Europe and ate McDonald's in every country he visited. He wanted to do a country-by-country comparison. Jeez Louise, come on. Let's see. Nets shot again. Uh-oh, says Sasha. Stream problems again. Oh, my God. Sorry. Hopefully you're all back with us. Mountains. Oh, wait, here we go. Monuments, cathedrals. Carmen, Gemma, Gandalf, Sasha, and Nuriatam all say mountains. And, of course, that's the one you're missing. Well done, friends. Well done. All right. So I asked 100 humans to name things people visit when they go on holiday. In position, number, hope to God this works.
Seven.
Yes, it does. We had shops, tiendas. In position, number,
six.
With 5 of 100 humans, we had mountains, montañas. Well done. In position, number,
five.
We had ristorantes. In position, number,
four.
With 6 of 100 humans, we had parques. Yeah, Retiro. I struggle to think of another park. Maybe to go to, I don't know, to Disney World. I guess that's a theme park. In position number
three,
we had Monumento. 7 of 100 humans said landmarks. In position number
two,
25 of 100 humans said museums. When I went to New York, it was largely about the museums. MoMA, Guggenheim, etc. Okay, and it's their second most popular answer, 25 of 100 humans. And finally, in position number
one,
with 37 of 100 humans, it was beaches. Well done to all you guys. Really, McDonald's is where you're going when you go on holiday? Come on, guys. All right, let's move on to today's Complete the News. Okay, friends, you know how this works. I'm going to give you a real news headline, this time from globalnews.ca. Or I think it's nationalglobalnews.ca, a Canadian website. Okay, here we go. I'm going to give you a real news headline, but I'm going to leave out some important information. Your job in the chat is to identify the missing information from the three options I give you, A, B, or C. If you're one of the many people watching the show but haven't participated, perhaps you feel a little nervous sharing your opinion, this is your moment, because all you have to write is A, B, or C. Before we get into it, let me just catch up with the chat. Emily says hot springs on there. It wasn't, Emily. A good answer, though. Let's see. There are some beautiful parks around the US like Yosemite. True story. There are.
That gets the Probo stamp of approval.
Vero says, it's a pity RD Eugene is not here. He would laugh when I tell him that. When me and my family were in Moscow, the first place we visited was a McDonald's. Really? Kind of historical. I remember when the first McDonald's opened up in... I remember that being news. All right, let's get into today's Complete the News. Here we go. Okay, hundreds in Mexico City blank to commemorate World Sleep Day. Cientos en Mexico City, Ciudad de Mexico, or Mexico, I guess you would say, blank para conmemorar el Día Mundial del Sueño. How did they commemorate World Sleep Day? Hundreds in Mexico City blank to commemorate World Sleep Day. Is it A, take a mass nap? Toman una siesta masiva. Is it B, they wore pajamas to work? B, wore pajamas to work. Usaran pijamas para ir al trabajo. Or is it C, abstained from caffeine? se abstuvieron de cafeína? A, B, or C? Hundreds. Oh, so many. Hundreds in Mexico City blank to commemorate World Sleep Day. Is it A, take a mass nap, B, wore pajamas to work, or C, abstained from caffeine? Dude, I would wear pajamas all the time if I could. If it weren't poorly seen, you know? Ooh, the chat here. It's almost unanimously B. Gandalf says F, went to McDonald's. Carmen says people wear pajamas to go out even if they're not commemorating anything. I can't remember the last time I walked the dogs in the evening without wearing pajamas. I'm going to be perfectly honest. Sometimes it gets chilly. Thank God for the warm weather. All right. So hundreds in Mexico City blank to commemorate World Sleep Day. Is it take a nap, wore pajamas to work, or abstain from caffeine? Let's get to it. All right, here we go. So how did people in Mexico City commemorate World Sleep Day? They took a mass siesta, a mass nap. Only one person got that, Cameron. Well done to you. Everybody else said B. Yeah, it's true. In Mexico City, hundreds of people gathered at the monument to the revolution to participate in a mass siesta in honor of World Sleep Day. This event, featuring participants with yoga mats, sleep masks, and travel pillows, aimed to highlight the importance of sleep as a crucial aspect of health and wellness. Organized by the Center for Sleep and Neurosciences and the Mexican Society for the Investigation of Medicine and Sleep, the event was also served as a protest against sleep inequality, with the demanding work hours prevalent in Mexico. All right, there you go, guys. I would definitely do that. Spain is Probo calling on you to have a mass siesta event. I know what a lot of people who don't live in Spain are saying. Isn't that like every day in Spain? So there you go, guys. Mexico City, hundreds had a mass nap to commemorate World Sleep Day. What a show, guys. We've covered everything from AI tools becoming more racist, from a decline in marriage leading to low birth rates in Japan, from neurological diseases becoming the leading cause of ill health nowadays, to a great discussion about traveling the world and what people visit on holiday. What a great show. Thank you so much for being here with me. This podcast is a podcast exclusive. You'll never hear it on the radio. So thank you so much for being with me live. All of you who are here, Nuritam, Vero, Carmen, Gandalf, all of you guys, Emily, thank you, thank you. Friends, so many things you could have been doing this evening, an infinite number of things. But instead of doing those things, you took the time to spend some time with me, and it means the world. I'll see you next time.